morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Let's open our Bibles to two places. We're going to be in Luke chapter 17, but we also want to open our Bibles to Psalm 107, and we'll start in Psalm 107. So Psalm 107, and then we will quickly move over to Luke chapter 17. We're going to take a break from the Gospel of Mark this morning as we enter into Thanksgiving week. We want to be certainly thankful. So if you have need of a Bible, as always, raise a hand. One will be handed to you so you can follow along with us. Psalm 107 and Luke 17. I so appreciated Pastor RJ's prayer because there was a lot of thanks in it. And as we enter into Thanksgiving, I think it's important that we be mindful of being thankful. I would think for most of us in this room, we're thankful for so many things. Maybe the people in our lives. You know, you might look to your left, to your right, and maybe there's a family member sitting there that you're thankful that they're in your life. Or maybe there's a friend that you're just so thankful that they are in your lives. And so to be thankful is important. And to be reminded to be thankful. As we enter into, again, Thanksgiving on Thursday, it's a time to be with family. It's time to be with friends. And maybe sometimes it's just time to be alone. You know, maybe a day off of work and just to be able to sit and be thankful to the things God has given to us. And we need to be reminded of thankfulness. Because other than a talent, I think gratefulness and gratitude is something that we can all possess. You don't have to be a gifted person to be thankful, to be grateful to others, to be mindful of those things. I think it's freely available to all of us and completely within each and every one of our controls. And wouldn't you admit and agree to this statement? It's easier to be miserable than it is to be thankful. I mean, there's a lot of things in the world that we can be miserable about. There's a lot of things we can complain about. And when we complain, I think it just festers more complaining and more criticism. And so it's just important for us to remind ourselves to be thankful. you know, when people open a door for you, do you say thank you? I usually open a door for somebody. If they don't say thank you, I go, you're welcome. I'm still working on that. You know, I'm still asking God for forgiveness. But it's those things that we just need to be thankful for. Again, it's not a gift, it's a choice. And I believe there's always, always, always a reason to be grateful. If you really stop and think about it, there's a reason to be thankful. And I would say it's something, if you don't have it as a habit, that it's something that you can incorporate in your life. I like to call it a gratitude list, a list of things that you are thankful for. Even as I say that, maybe there's a few things that immediately, you know, in the top of your list, you know, maybe your spouse, maybe your children, your family, your friends, whatever, certainly the Lord. But sometimes just physically writing those things down helps remind us to be thankful. Because I think sometimes in life, we all live busy lives and we just go through life and sometimes we forget to be thankful. Sometimes we even forget to thank God for the things that He's done in our lives. You know, we pray and we ask God, please, Lord, open this opportunity or heal me in this way or do this in my life. And then He does, and we move right to the next prayer request. Instead of coming back and saying, Lord, thank you. We've all done it, and I've been reminded days after I've prayed for something and God has answered it to go, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry I didn't say thank you. To truly be thankful. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. I'm grateful, certainly, for the family that I have. Two of my nephews are up here from Florida. I had a really good time yesterday driving all over Nashville. Grateful for family. Grateful for a church where we can come and sing and lift our voices and worship God. And I'm thankful this morning that we sang, you know, that song, Great Are You, Lord. It's probably not the right title, but you get the idea. It is. Oh, praise God. That was an act of the Holy Spirit right there. But truly, to be great are you, Lord. And that's why I have you in Psalm 107. If you look at the first verse, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Now look at this. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And the reason I wanted to read this is certainly it is important for us in the first verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Yeah, we can all say that, and we can all say amen, and boom, boom. But what happens in your life when things are difficult? What happens in your life when things aren't going your way? When maybe there's not enough money to pay the bills, or your relationships are just struggling, or maybe even your faith is beginning to wane a bit. It's those, I call them the funk seasons, when you just don't feel like things are right. Do you still find ways to thank God? If you notice here, verses 4 and 5 is not a good situation. They're in a bad place. They're in a desolate location. They're hungry. They're thirsty. And what do? They cry out to God. It's in those times, I believe, in our lives, when we're feeling that funk, when we're feeling not thankful, that we just need to stop and say, God, what is wrong with me? Why do I feel this way? As David would say, oh, my soul, praise the Lord. He knew he needed to praise the Lord, but he didn't feel like it. And sometimes in our lives, we don't feel like it. Maybe even at Thanksgiving, you don't feel like it. Some of you in this room are thinking, I've got to get shopping I got to do. I got to cook. I got to prepare. It's a lot of work. Some of you in this room love that stuff. Amen. To an excess. Amen. And you know who I'm talking about. She won't even look at me. I love it. But the reality is, even in difficulties, even in stresses, there's always a good reason to thank the Lord. Guys, when you look back at your past, be thankful for the things that God has taken you through. Be thankful the season that you're in, and certainly be thankful for the places he's yet to take us. Our church verse has this in it. Our church verse is verses 16 through 18, but it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I love this verse because it's a reminder that we have to give thanks in every situation, in the good, certainly, but also in the bad. You don't thank God for the situation, but you thank God that he's going to get you through and in the situation and out of that situation. Giving thanks, because that's God's will for our lives. God wants us to be grateful. You want your children to thank you, right? You feed them, you clothe them, you give them a house, you educate them. You want them sometimes to say, thanks, Dad. And I think that's sometimes in our society where we fall way short. We don't say thanks enough to people. And again, it's always this time of year that makes us think more about it. But when is the last time you just sat down with someone, looked across the table at them, looked them in the face and said, I am so thankful for you. Truly thankful that you're in my life. Now, some of us might say, well, I married them. Isn't that thanks enough? No, it's not. It's not thanks enough. They want to hear it. You know? Kids, tell your parents you're thankful for them. Parents, tell your children you're thankful for them most of the time. Be thankful. I believe it's a muscle we must exercise. And I think it's important that we exercise that muscle. I've always loved this saying. Well, let's try it again. It's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. Once that sinks in, you get it. It's true. It's true. You're not happy and then thankful. You're thankful and then it brings a joy in your heart. And I think that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be thankful and trust that He'll take care of everything else. He'll take care of everything else. Job, one more verse. Job is a great example of not blaming God for tragedy in our lives. This is always dumbfounded me, that when bad things happen to people, they blame God, even when they don't believe in him. It's God's fault. And sometimes we do that, I think, in our lives. Like, why is God making me suffer like this? Why is God allowing this to happen in my life? And I've always been quick to remind myself, God doesn't do it, he may allow it, but he allows it for a reason. And Job, we know this verse, and he said, naked I came into I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. We all know Job lost a lot. Job suffered great loss, great pain. But in all of that, he still blessed the Lord. He still blessed God. And I think that's a reminder for all of us that when we can bless God and thank God and be mindful of God, that it helps us deal with the situations in our lives. Don't sin and charge God with wrong. It's not right. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17, where we have a great picture of thankfulness. Being careful not to blow the kids out of the classroom. A powerful picture this morning of Jesus displaying his grace and his mercy, and we see a picture of thankfulness. We're picking up in verse 11 of chapter 17. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. God bless you. Your faith has made you well. I've always loved this picture, and I've always loved this story. And as we see Jesus coming into this area, as he's going to Jerusalem, he passed through Samaria and Galilee, and as he enters this city, he's approached by some lepers. Now, if you've read your Bible, and you know that leprosy was a terrible disease in Jesus' day, people would isolate the lepers. They would kick them out of their camps. They had a special place for them to live. If a leper was walking down the street, they had to say, cry out, unclean, unclean, so no one would touch them. I mean, it was a miserable existence. It's a sad existence. It's one of those things where it's like so isolated, and here these lepers are seeing Jesus coming and seeing an opportunity in their lives. Guys, if there's anything in our lives that Jesus can take care of, it's the leprosy of sin. It's the sin in all of our... We may not have the physical disease, but we have the spiritual disease, sin in our lives. And it can separate us from God. And it must not separate us from God. We must cry out to Christ, just like these lepers did, and ask him for mercy. Does anyone here this morning need mercy in their life? That mercy... That only God can give. Again, mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's mercy. We deserve judgment. We deserve being, the wrath of God falling upon us. But the mercy of God tells us that we are forgiven. And maybe there's someone in this room, or maybe all of us in this room, that can need to cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me this day. Guys, his mercy never ends. His mercy is always there for you if we will cry out for it. That's the beautiful thing. Jesus encounters these 10 lepers on his way to Jerusalem, and along the way, as Jesus is going, God gives him an opportunity, and Jesus seizes the opportunity. It's not like us who are so busy to get to our destination. Have you ever experienced this in your life? You're so focused on your destination that you miss the opportunities along the way. That's one of the hardest things, I think, for Christians in America. We have so many other things going on. So many distractions with cell phones and emails and text messages, and it's like there's no opportunity for us to just stop and seize an opportunity that God has for us. If there's anything my prayer is for this holiday season is that we would stop and be still before God and see how he will use us. See how he will use you this holiday season. Be that person that helps spread the mercy of God to someone else. It's so important, guys, to be mindful of people around. See, you might be blessed. You might have a great family, and you're excited about this week, and you're excited about Thanksgiving, but maybe there's a coworker, maybe there's a neighbor that's all by themselves. Be mindful of them. Maybe they need the mercy of God to be displayed in their lives. Be open to that. Jesus never misses an opportunity. And just to remind you, in verses 1 through 10 of Luke chapter 17, Jesus was teaching on forgiveness. He was teaching upon offenses, taking offenses, and he was also talking about being a faithful servant. So Jesus is teaching, and he's sharing these things. And I believe that these lepers heard about Jesus' teachings. And they thought, perhaps, possibly, maybe. Has there anything ever been in your life there so long that you never thought it would ever go away? I mean, they lived with leprosy for years. They could have easily given up, but they heard about Jesus. They heard about one that could change their lives. And I think as he's teaching about these things, they're going, is this possibly our opportunity? I think sometimes the sin in our lives keeps us from asking God to forgive us. Some of you in this room carry burdens and weights from your past that God is not asking you to carry. Choices that you've made. Sins that you've committed. Guys, please, do me a favor. Lay them at the foot of the cross. Don't be burdened down with them. These lepers were isolated, and they came to Jesus, the only one that could give them that answer. Notice it says that they were afar off in verse 12. They stood afar off because they couldn't come near Christ. Again, that sin that separates. But they were willing to cry out. They were willing to ask God for that mercy. See, the Bible tells them that they had to be isolated, that they could not be with community. Think about a leper who can't be with their spouse, can't be with their family, can't be with their kids, can't be with their friends. Such isolation, isn't it? And here's Jesus going to answer them. Do you feel, in some ways, sometimes in your life, unclean, unworthy? See, I think if we take a healthy look at our lives, sometimes we can feel that way. But that's when we must get on our knees before God and say, Lord, please clean me. Please cleanse me. And he will. Listen to me. When you are the farthest from the Lord, that is when you are in the greatest need of coming into the presence of God. If you feel distance from God, if you feel a separation in some way, that's the time to cry out, Lord, Master, have mercy on me. He hears you. There's no distance he cannot reduce in your life. That's the truth. These are men that came to Jerusalem to meet Jesus. Yes, they were at a distance, but listen, they presented their needs to Jesus and cried out to him. And notice what Jesus says. Verse 14, so when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were healed. So they asked for that mercy, but Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't bend down to get some mud and spit and rub it on their clothes. He didn't, say anything. He didn't touch them. He didn't lay hands on them. He didn't do anything. He just said, go, show the priest. It was in this moment that these lepers had an opportunity to exercise faith. It is in our time when we ask God for something and he gives us instructions to do something that we must walk by faith. Easily, these lepers could have said, why should we go show ourselves to the priest? We're still in this leprous condition. Have you ever felt like that? God, why are you asking me to do that? I'm still in this condition. I'm still feeling this way. It is by faith we must be obedient to what God tells us. I love the fact that the Bible says, and they immediately went. They immediately went. Because listen, in Matthew's gospel, in the 8th chapter, Jesus healed a leper before, and it says this. The leper said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He exercised his faith. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I can't help but think that these 10 lepers thought, Jesus will touch us and we'll be all better. Sometimes the way God answers sin, or answers a prayer in your life, is not the way he's going to answer it in my life. We want to find a formula. We want to find a way to say, well, if I just pray this way, I'll get my answer. Or if I just do this many devotions, I'll get my answer. Or if I just do this many nice things for people, then God will get my answer. Guys, he changes it up. These lepers, had they not exercised faith and turned around and began to walk, they may not have received their healing. And I think some of us in this room have asked God to do something. He's told us to take a few steps, and we're unwilling to take those steps. Therefore, our healing hasn't come. If he's told you to do something, do it, even though it doesn't make any sense. The lepers had to be going, but we're not healed. The idea about showing themselves to the priest is because the priest would do the inspection and then claim them to be clean so that they can re-enter society. Everything in their physical bodies was going, how can I show myself to the priest? But they believed Jesus enough to walk by faith. Do you understand how important this thing is about being obedient to what Jesus tells you? Being thankful to God starts by being obedient to what he tells you to do, even when it doesn't make any sense. Don't you love that about God? Or maybe you don't love that about God. He makes you do stuff that makes no sense. But God, that's not how everybody else does it. But God, that's not how you did it for somebody else. Well, he wants to do it unique for you because he wants to have that personal experience with you. They called him master. Do you realize as Christians, we are slaves to God? He is our master. He calls the shots. We don't tell him how to do anything. We might put in some suggestions. You know, he's got a suggestion box, which are called prayers. But his way is ultimately the only way. And so their attitude was right. The thing I also love is that Jesus saw them. Jesus looked into their eyes. Notice it says, I think it's in verse 14, so when he saw them, again, put yourself in the place of a leper. Nobody wants to look at you. Nobody wants to get near you. I think just the fact that Jesus looked at them was so encouraging to them. And I think that's what spoke to them to be obedient to what he told them to do. Because Jesus looked into their soul and knew what their greatest need is. Notice also, did they ask Jesus to heal them? Didn't, did he? Did they? They just said, have mercy on us. And Jesus, sometimes when we ask, he does even greater than what we need. That's a reason to be thankful, guys. To be thankful for the way God works in your life and through your life. Like I said, there's plenty of reasons to be miserable in life and to complain in life. But what are you seeking for to be thankful for in God, through God? It's important. Jesus sees us differently than we see ourselves or that we see others. Are you thankful you can call on Jesus for help and mercy no matter how impossible the prayer request is? No matter how impossible it seems. Because I believe there's people in this room who won't ask because they think it's impossible. Are you thankful that Jesus knows you intimately and personally? He knows you even before you ask. Make me thankful for that. No healing, but yet they went. And immediately they were healed. And how God healed them is not how he's going to heal you. It's going to be just a move of your faith and exercising that faith. Notice at the end, it says, your faith has made you well. I love that. How much faith do you have in God? Little faith? Anybody in here have a little faith? It's enough. So we say yes. It's enough. The faith of a mustard seed, just a little faith, that's all it needs. I like to remind myself, a little faith plus a big God means huge results. Amen. You don't need a lot of faith. You don't need a doctorate, you know, a theology degree. You don't need to, you just got to believe a little bit that God will do it. The more you believe, the better, for sure. See, they believed Jesus could do it or they wouldn't have never asked. The fact is they asked and they obeyed Jesus. Are you asking and are you being obedient to what God tells you to do? James tells us, it was in my head a minute ago, ask and you shall receive. No, that's, never mind. We'll just move on. We don't receive because you ask amiss, is generally what James says. The fact is that we need to be asking. Do you know that when you ask incorrectly, if you keep asking, God will help you ask correctly? As you continue to pray, when it talks about praying without ceasing, I think that doesn't mean knock down God's door relentlessly. It means keep on praying for that thing until the answer comes. Be consistent in it. Be consistent in it. Before their circumstances changed, they realized they had to obey Jesus. And I love that fact. You can't wait until your problem is over to start walking in faith. Walking in faith starts today. Starts now. I mean, how easy is it that we walk by faith after God's already given us our answers? How about walking in faith now before the answer comes? Because I think that'll help us be more grateful. You can't pray, Lord, if you will just solve this issue in my family, I'll start being a better person. It just doesn't work that way. God wants you to exercise your faith and exercise it powerfully. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The fact that the Bible says he was a Samaritan suggests that the other nine were Jews, religious. You've heard me say it before. Religion can so hinder our relationship with God. Oh, they may have completely obeyed Jesus, gone back to the priest, had the priest look him over, and they were cleansed as well, but they never came back and gave God thanks. And here's the thing. I don't think there's anything technically wrong for not thanking God, but isn't it much better to come back and thank God? Jesus draws attention to it. In fact, when he says, were there not 10? I think he's looking around at other people. I think he's challenging everybody's faith. Be thankful for the things God has done in your life. I don't think he's looking at this one leper going, were there not 10 of you? Where's the other nine? He's like, did I not? He says, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the other nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, which to me is an insult to this poor guy who's coming back to say thanks. Just this foreigner? But what he's telling the crowd, I think what he's telling his disciples, be careful that religion doesn't hinder you from being thankful. Be careful that we just don't rest on our beliefs, our works, our actions, and not be thankful to God. I think it's important to be thankful at all times. When he saw he was healed, he came back. And notice he does this. He immediately goes back, number one. I think sometimes if we don't give thanks up front and early enough, we will tend to forget to do it. I think the opportunity will pass. So that's why I think it's important to be mindful of being thankful for the things in your life. Do not put off thankfulness because you probably will not get an opportunity to do it. They did not delay. He saw the need, and he immediately went back to Jesus. There's two things I want you to see here. He fell down at his feet, which was the correct posture. When you're forgiven much, do you not love much? I think of the woman that was anointing Jesus' feet, and she was crying on his feet, the tears that washed his feet, and then her hair was... And Jesus says, whom was forgiven much, loves much. And this one leper was forgiven much, and he comes back, and he falls down and worships God. I mean, my heart breaks to think of how much this man's life changed like that. Do you believe God can change your life that quickly? That quickly. And you might think, well, Pastor Rob, it's been months, it's been years, nothing's changed. In fact, it's gotten worse. Does that change your faith? Shouldn't. Because God can change it like that. In a second, this man's life went from isolation and unlove to immediately being reconnected to God, to his family, to his community, to everyone he cared about. What an amazing thing. And the fact that he did not get healed and immediately go to his family, but went to Jesus, speaks volumes. Jesus should be the first person we come back to when the answers come. Jesus should be the first one. And when he is the first one, we will be grateful. We will be thankful. I'm asking you this Thanksgiving, ask big, impossible prayers. Maybe prayers that you haven't been praying. You've talked yourself out of it. Pray big prayers. And let's see what God will do. Maybe he'll change your life like that. And if he doesn't, then we continue to be faithful until he does. I think maybe as Christians, the hardest thing is continuing to be faithful in our asking. In our asking, we must also be thankful to keep asking. He was in the right posture and he was in the right place. He was worshiping at the feet of Jesus. Guys, when we worship the Lord, we're worshiping him. We're not worshiping for each other. It's not to hear whose voices are the best. We should be here, our eyes should be closed, maybe our hearts, and just worshiping the Lord. Thanking him for all he's done. I encourage you this week to begin a gratitude list. To begin to write down those things, because as you write those things down, the ones that you normally are thankful for, the Lord will remind you of the things that you really need to be thankful for. And this Thanksgiving, when you get around the table with friends, family, or maybe just you and God, spend that time saying thanks. You know, most of us in this room are going to enjoy a meal with family and friends. We're going to sit down, we're going to pray a prayer, thank you, Lord. I think it's one of the most simplest things to do is to pray to God, thanks for the food. And it might seem simple to all of us, but I think it's in that. How many times do you eat a day? Don't have to give an answer. Okay, that's fine. If you eat three meals a day and you're praying three times a day, thanking, truly thanking God, not just, you know, what is that one verse? I don't even know the simple little verses. Oh, thanks for the food, blessed over, whatever. No, truly thankful to God. I know there's people in this room that don't like to pray long meal prayers because they're hungry. But the reality is, if prayer is truly communion with God, conversation with God, should it be brief? Should it be quick? God is good. God is good. Practice praying, even for the food. It's been given to you by God. If you truly believe everything has been given to you by God, then you will be thankful. The last thing we see, it's in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus saw faith in this man. He saw faith in the beginning to believe that Jesus was the master and the one that could bring the healing. He saw faith in this man to turn around and walk even before the healing came. He saw faith in this man to come back and say thank you. And he says, your faith has made you well. If you will circle that word well right there, in the Greek it's the word sozo, S-O-Z-O, and it also means salvation or saved. I believe Jesus, when we have the right heart of thankfulness, goes above and beyond just the physical healing. It's this verse in Romans 10:9. It says this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Sozo. You will be made well. This man was healed of his leprosy. But I also believe Jesus right then and there gave forgiveness of all of his sins because he believed in Jesus. Now, what did this man do? Did he pray a lot? Did he do a lot of devotions? Did he run really fast back? What did he do? He exercised his faith, and he showed thankfulness to God. And that was enough for Jesus. It should be enough for us. Jesus confirmed this healing. He was the priest that the man came to and was declared clean. Guys, we have the opportunity every moment of every day to approach the throne room of grace and mercy and say, God, have mercy on me. Save me. Protect me. Help me. He is always there for us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. And so it's our opportunity to come to him and to have a thankful heart and to be drawn close to God. Please, I don't want anyone in this room to feel like they're far from God, because at any moment he can be brought close into your presence as long as you open up your heart to him. So this Thanksgiving, be thankful. And then let's be thankful in Christmas. Let's be thankful in the New Year. Let's be thankful at Valentine's Day. Let's be thankful in the summer holidays. There you go. 4th of July, there you go. Just be thankful. I'm going to end with this crazy little story. As I was preparing this message, God reminded me that just about every single text message I send, at the end I say thank you. It's just something I do. Say thank you. You know, I'll say something from somebody. Thank you so much. Hey, can you get this for me? Thank you. Hey, can you do this for me? I'm trying to find another word for thank you. Well, I appreciate you very much. You know that. And God just showed me. He goes, because sometimes I feel bad. I sound like a broken record. Like I'm always thanking people. So what I do? It's just who I am. I've always been like that. And God said, it's a good start. Always be thankful, guys. There's nothing wrong with saying thanks. Paula, she's not here? Thank you for breakfast. Guys who set up, thank you. Lou, thank you for flying home last night. Be thankful, guys. I think God honors thankfulness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this leper who shows us to be thankful. And as Jesus used it as an opportunity to say to everyone around him, were not there 9 others that were also cleansed? Lord, it's just telling us that everyone needs to be thankful. And if we search our hearts, and if we sit down and take time, there's much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for the young children in our church, how they bring joy to our hearts. And as your children, God, I pray that you are thankful for us, the things that we do, the interactions that we have. God, help us to be grateful. Help us to be thankful, even during this time in Thanksgiving. Help us to forget about the things we can complain about and just keep our focus on you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Thank you for being good to us. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.